Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's good to see you all here. Did you all have a good Valentine's Day?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, last week I preached in Warrensburg, and you're going to hear a little of the same stuff, but not entirely. So if it looks like I'm going to repeat myself, just hang in there because it'll change. This morning I want to share with you some of my favorite scriptures. They're probably your favorite scriptures also. And so it won't be anything new. It'll be sort of a repetition. But isn't that how we learn? We repeat something over and over and over, and eventually we get it right. Well, we hope that's the case here. I want to share with you a testimony. It's the testimony of King David of Israel. He lived from about 1040 to 970 years before Christ. He reigned for Israel for 40 years. And the people that have studied these scriptures tell us from historical comments, not from the Bible, but they believe that this testimony was written near the end of his reign, his 40-year reign. It's the 23rd Psalm. You say, oh, I've heard that before. Maybe not. The 23rd Psalm starts out, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. King David addresses the Lord there, that he knows that he's like a shepherd that takes care of the sheep. We're the sheep. And he is our Lord. This matches in the second chapter of Mosiah, starting at verse 13, it says, and this is a commandment, believe in God, believe that he is, and then be created of all things, both in heaven and in earth. And then he adds, I shall not want. That's a good testimony, that the Lord is his God, and because he is, he didn't want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, I don't think that really means a pasture, or I don't think it really means a stream like the trout streams that I go to. But I think that's his life. That throughout his life, he was led to the good things. The green pastures are the good things. And the still waters, not turbulent, not rushing, not waterfalls, but the still waters. That's the life that God promises us if we follow his commandments. That's quite a testimony. David was a man like we are. Did he have sin? Yes. Did he repent of those sins? I believe so. And more on that later. It says in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. His name's sake for Jesus Christ. He leadeth me in righteousness. The Lord doesn't tempt us. The Lord doesn't have anything to do with evil. Everything that he projects for us is to our good, if we'll accept it. Do we accept it? That's quite a testimony. As a matter of fact, can you give that testimony? Does the Lord lead you through green pastures? Has he given you righteousness? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's life here on earth. Because after that war in heaven, the adversary was cast out and he was sent to the earth, never to return to heaven again. In fact, the scriptures refer to him as the prince of the earth. We're in the valley of the shadow of death every day. We're exposed to the world. But can we rejoice? What's our testimony? Does it affect us? Do we have problems? Do we have trouble? Or if we approach God, does he take that away from us and give us peace and sanctify us? For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now we think of a rod or a staff as that staff that Moses carried, the one that he threw on the ground and became a snake, you remember? But it's more than that. This is his rod. This is his staff. They comfort me. What do you know about the rod and the staff? Do you use it in your daily life? Or do you just read it on Sunday? Do you find comfort in what it says? You haven't looked if you haven't found it, because it's there. That's what they were given for. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now that sounds a little like he's preparing a table. You know, you think of the waiters in the restaurants, and they fix a table and they set it and they bring your food, pour your coffee. That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about all of the necessities of life that we need, not just physical, but spiritual. The strength we get to face adversity and trouble and trials. And if we approach him and ask, our cup will runneth over. He will give us all of that righteousness, all of that protection, all of that guidance that we need. Can you make that testimony? Do you preach the Lord? Has he delivered for you? If he hasn't, you haven't asked him. Because if you ask, he will deliver. That's a promise. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This testimony that all of these things I've just read about gave him a good life. He's saying here it was good, that the Lord was merciful to him all of the days of his life. That's probably, that one sentence is probably the reason the students think that this was written towards the end of his reign. He's looking back. He's saying, I never had it so good. Can you say that? Compare your testimony to David's. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's talking there about after death. He's talking about not only was he protected and led and fed and cared for on this earth, but in the resurrection, he will live with God in his house forever. That's a promise, if you keep his commandments. And that resurrection is an interesting phase. Now, we'll go to that a little later. There are some things that we have that he didn't have. Let me see. I think it's in Matthew 26. This is one of my favorites. This is where in Matthew chapter 26, where Jesus has told his disciples, go into town and find this room, and I will eat the supper with you. It was his time with his disciples at the Last Supper. And he brought them an ordinance. Now, King David, because he lived in the Old Testament portion of this creation, the time from the beginning to Jesus Christ, they had the law of Moses, and they had the Passover. And that Passover was a shadow of things to come, but it was not the Last Supper because they didn't have Christ there. But if he kept the Passover and he kept those commandments, which I think David did, he was granted that he could be resurrected and spend his life with God forever. But we have a newer commandment. That's the one of the sacrament. We do it the first Sunday of every month. Yeah. Starting with verse 26 in Matthew 26, that's easy to remember. Matthew 26, 26. You can just go right home and turn to it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And we do that. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament. Time in which they live, in which we live, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And then he says, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom. That's after the resurrection. And so we look forward to that if we keep his commandments. I'd like to jump to Mosiah. I may not take a whole hour this morning, is that all right?
That's okay.
And I want to read a little to you about that hereafter and that resurrection, because that's kind of important. That's something we look forward to, or I hope we all look forward to that. Let's see, where shall I start? Let's go to chapter 8 in Mosiah. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. And it's from one of my favorite people in the Book of Mormon. It's a speech by Abinadi. You've all read Abinadi's speech. He got burned for making this speech. They burned him at the stake because they were so evil. But before he went, he gave them the truth. And this is what you can look forward to. It says, "Behold, the bands of death shall be broken." I'm starting at verse 54, chapter 8. It's on page 253. "But behold, the bands of death shall be broken, and the sun reigneth and hath power over the dead. Therefore, he bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead." That did and will happen. "And there cometh a resurrection, even a resurrection, yea, even a resurrection of those that have been and which are and which shall be, even until the resurrection of Christ, for so shall he be called." That's kind of an important verse because in the early days of the restoration, our forefathers made a mistake. We have since corrected that mistake. They taught that we should be living for the first resurrection and that the really good people would be resurrected first and other people would be resurrected later on. And everybody sought to keep the commandments and do what they were supposed to because they wanted that first resurrection. They erred because that's not what it says in the Book of Mormon. The first resurrection happened at the time following Christ's resurrection. Christ was the first fruits. He was the first resurrected, and all of those from the beginning of the world up until Christ's time that were righteous, that have lived by the law, that had kept the Mosaic law. I probably won't read it, it'll be too long here, but he explains that. They had the Mosaic. You remember Samuel the prophet, he was told to prophesy that Christ would come. But he said, until he comes, keep the law of Moses. Then you'll have the gospel from Christ himself. And that's true. And it says right here, even a resurrection of those that have been and which are. Remember, Abinadi is talking to the people then, not us. Even a resurrection of those that have been and which are, which shall be even unto the resurrection of Christ. That period of time is the first resurrection. That has happened, except for those that are wicked and died in their sins. They haven't been resurrected yet. It explains that later on. But and now I'm going to go to verse 56. "And now the resurrection of the prophets and all those that have believed in their words," all of those that have kept the commandments of God. We're talking about Noah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and King David. "These shall come forth in the first resurrection. Therefore, they are the first resurrection. They are raised to dwell with God, who hath redeemed them that have littered life through Christ, who have broken the bands of death." Now, at the time Abinadi spoke this, Christ hadn't yet done that. but he was going to. That was the prophecy. And these are those who shall have part in the first resurrection, and these are they that have died before Christ came. Not now, but then. In their ignorance, not having salvation declared unto them. And thus the Lord bringeth about the restoration of these, and they have a part in the first resurrection, or have eternal life, being redeemed by the Lord. And then he says, and behold, little children also have eternal life, and we believe that. You don't have to baptize babies or little children. Not you guys' size, little children. And behold, and fear and tremble before God, for you had ought to tremble, for the Lord redeemeth none such that rebelleth against him and dieth in their sins. Let's see if I want to continue this. I want to jump over to verse 81, I think. Yeah. But there is a resurrection. Therefore, the grave hath no victory, and the sting of death is swallowed up in Christ. He is the light and the life of the world, yea, a light that is endless, that can never be darkened, yea, also a life which is endless, but there can be no more death. Even this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, and shall be brought to stand before the bar of God, to be judged of him according to their words, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And if they be good, to the resurrection of endless life and happiness. And if they be evil, to the resurrection of endless damnation. Therefore, it's our choice, like King David's, who gave his testimony of fulfilling the law as he knew it at that time, the Mosaic Law. And I feel sure he was resurrected with those prophets. And at that time, we now look forward to a resurrection after we leave this earth and this mortal body. There are some who make a mistake. You remember that Jesus brought back to life the rich man's daughter, and he was telling that story, visited his home and brought her back to life. He brought her back to life, but he didn't resurrect her. Resurrection takes you home to God in heaven. You're an immortal soul at that point. And there's a difference between that and his having raised of some people to life after they had died, because they came back into the world and still had their mortal body. When you're resurrected, you have what looks like the mortal body, but it has been changed. You have immortality. You will live forever with God. I don't know about you, but that's some promise. I think about that. I'm getting closer to it than you are. But you need to think about it. You young people have a life ahead of you. And life isn't always going to be nice, just like it wasn't to King David. you're going to have problems and trials. But if you pray to him, he'll give you that righteousness. He will lead you with that direction. He will give you that peace. And you'll get it from the staff. These two books, the written gospel. I guess I could go back and finish reading from 2 Mosiah. This is another one of my favorites. And you'll recognize it right away. Chapter 2 of Mosiah, it's on page 220. Verses 13 through 17. This is one of my really favorites. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Man sometimes thinks he's so smart. He's figured out all these things. Well, who made the things he thinks he's figuring out? God did. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. I just read to you about reaching immortality in the resurrection. That's a hard concept to conceive. What does that mean? How does it feel? We don't know. Not yet. We have to trust in the Lord that what he says is true. Trust in that staff. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourself before God. Like I said, did King David have sin? Yes, we know that. Did he repent of it? I believe so. Do we have sin? Have we sinned? Of course. We're carnal. The scriptures tell us that. Have we repented? Those that have been baptized have stated that they have repented. They've taken upon them the name of Jesus Christ. That's a requirement. And humble yourself before God. And ask in the sincerity of your heart that he would forgive you. And he will. He has said, if you come before him and ask forgiveness, he will forgive you. That bothered Peter, remember? He said, how many times? 7 times 70? That was Christ's answer. It's a hard life. But repentance is there and it's yours. For the asking. So ask for it. Ask in sincerity of the heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. You perhaps have other favorite scriptures. Those are a few of mine. And I'm glad to share them with you. I've got a few more, but I won't take the time this morning. I think we've covered the points. Remembering that last statement. See that you do them. May God bless you. in your efforts. In the name of Jesus, amen.